Could we keep watching it? Should we? No. Oh, we're just getting into it, really. Hallelujah. Good to see you, everyone. Kina's testimony took me back to Estonia. We had a nice trip to Estonia with 11 days with a few of us. Kina and Katz and Chris and me and some others, Marion, Stuart, Tom. Did I miss someone? And they were giving their testimonies every day in all the meetings. It's just incredible. We had a lot of fun. If you think Stuart isn't funny, he really is. You should have seen him in Estonia. He was like on drugs. Just singing in the van, really high voice, all the time. But you know when you get like tired at the end of the trip and you kind of start mocking around a bit, as you do on mission trips, and you've done the testimonies and songs and preached so many times, you start mocking them. And actually, one of the last meetings, we were getting really tired, and it was outside. It was a sunny day at first, but then it got colder and colder. And where we were doing our meeting, there was like a house behind us, so the sun had just left, so the shadow was just coming on us. And we were like freezing, doing our testimonies and songs, and Katz and Kina, I think, were giggling in the front seat, in the front row, just tired and full of the Holy Spirit. And Tom was giving his testimony, getting really distracted, and he totally forgot the end, the main bit. You know, he was doing like how he was really messed up and hating his dad, and because dad had left him, and he just left it at that. Didn't finish it because he got so distracted. Like, okay. And Kat's testimony about being in Turkey 5 years ago or something, being a mess and addicted to prescription drugs, became like having turkey last Sunday, and the peas and carrots were a mess, and addicted to prescription gravy, and he just lost it. And the gravy was all over the chicken, and there was stuffing inside. It was absolutely full of stuff. We had such an awesome thing, actually, to go, and that didn't really happen. It happened in the van. But it's an awesome thing to go to minister for Jesus, to go and really serve people for Jesus, and we were really blessed doing that. We're going to have a great opportunity to go to Estonia this summer. I think a lot of you are going. Just to let you know, we had an awesome trip in Estonia. All the churches really loved it. What we have here is God's giving us something, actually. And people are really blessed by it, by the testimonies, by the Route 61 bit. You know, it's absolutely awesome what God is doing, isn't it? What Jesus is doing. And it's desperately needed this day, this time in Europe, where spiritually Europe has turned into a place like those fat people on the couches, full of screens. You know, the land is covered with unbelief and a lot of fake things. And people are desperate for the real thing. And so are Christians. And so are we. But about Estonia, in the year 1991 was a great year, historically, because I became 1 year old. And also, the Soviet Union collapsed, which was an incredible thing. I mean, while the rest of Western Europe was just enjoying himself and prospering, the Eastern Europe was behind something called the Iron Curtain. Does anyone know what it means? Has anyone heard of it? The Iron Curtain. I bet you have. You've been in the history classes. And so the small little countries, the Baltic countries around the Russia now, they were just under communism, under the rule of the Soviets. Even though after the Second World War, all the countries were meant to get back their original independent nation. But they kind of ignored those small countries afterwards because of too much trouble with the Soviets, and they kind of didn't want to start any hassle. So Estonia and Latvia and Poland and Lithuania and were kind of left to the Soviets. And that's where our country lived for 50 years. 50 years. Basically, in Soviet Union, there was no private businesses. Everything was governmentalized. All the farms were taken off the people, governmentalized, built into one big farm. Nobody owned the cows. The government owned them. There was no money. You just got coupons for food. So they come through the letterbox. 2 bread, 1 milk. You would queue up. And if there was bread and milk left, you'd get them. There was no religious freedom. There was no freedom of speech. Everything was government controlled. There was the KBG officers who would really control everything and sneak into people's lives who were like anti-government or who were Christians, or they could be your friends, they could be your relatives, They were like everywhere. And the government would just know all your secrets. That was the Soviet Union for that 50 years. And a lot of people were killed, tortured, just disappeared. It was a harsh time. And 91, the Soviet Union got worse and worse and worse because the economy just didn't work. And in the year 91, it all collapsed. And a lot of these countries, as Estonia as well, got its independence and became an independent country. But before that happened, there was a turnover in Russia, in Soviet Union, while the people called Bolsheviks tried to take over the government, and they were very, very harsh Soviets. They thought that the government has gone soft, and they go back to the Soviet roots, and there was a big government turnover in the very last moment. And when the Bolsheviks took over, they tried to send tanks back to Estonia to really take control again. And the Red Army was marching to Estonia, and the people were pushing for freedom. The churches were praying and praying and praying. The nation was really hungry for independence. And what the nation people did, there was this big tower called the TV Tower. Thank you, Laurie. And they made a human chain around the TV Tower because that was the propaganda center that the Soviets would have taken over to unleash the propaganda. And they made a human chain just to protect that, you know, bit of antenna, basically. And the tanks were coming really close, and it was a moment of pure intensity. And actually, there was a lot of prayer up at that moment. And the tanks, I think the people were ready to be driven over by tanks. They were ready for it, protecting this independence that they want to have. And the tanks in the last minute stopped, and the turnover in Moscow didn't work out. And they, on the radio, they announced the Soviet Union broken and collapsed, over. It was a great heroic moment. But the truth is, they were defending the propaganda station that was, you know, the Soviets were going to use. But the sad picture of that is now Estonia and the Western world is full of a different kind of propaganda, full of a different kind of channel stream that controls people's minds. And it's, you know what it is. It's just the Western wealth materialism and all about looks and sex and all about adverts and adverts and adverts and selling. And actually, it's captivated people's minds, hasn't it? And you can see the generation that's grown up in Estonia and probably in other countries, is so different to the generation before. So different. I mean, to actually handle that freedom is a big challenge. And people are really lost, actually. The land is covered with unbelief. The land is covered with striving people who are actually lost. But, you know, the topic today is watch what you watch. And I think God is saying something about that Iron Curtain tonight. Even though it was a Soviet Iron Curtain, that time there was no porn found on any of the kiosks. There was no channels, there was no internet, actually. Can you imagine that world? And the Christian church prospered massively. The underground church was prospering. There was a big revival in Tallinn. And I think the Holy Spirit wants to give you an Iron Curtain of the blood of Jesus tonight to protect you from this world. And we need to protect our freedom in Jesus. Our freedom is in Jesus, not in this world. And I think we can make a human chain around our cross and protect the cross and come back to Jesus and escape the flames of this world, the desire of this world. Are you up for that? Because something is coming. God is going to move. And we can get ready for it by honoring God with our eyes, by watching what we're watching. Okay, I'm going to get my notes out now. Don't know where I'm going here. So, somebody get me a glass of water. Oh, there's one. Hallelujah. So what Jesus said about the eyes, he said that the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is full of darkness, the whole body is full of darkness. And if your eye is full of light, your whole body is full of light. You might have heard that eyes are the window to the soul. But it's true. What we receive with our eyes affects our whole life. If you watch something dark on the telly, it does affect you. It's the truth. I remember the first time I saw a horror film. My friends were around our house, our cousins, and they were watching this horrible film about the serial killer. And I was only a young boy, maybe 11 or 12 or something. And I just out of curiosity watched it with them. But I tell you, that night, I felt I was in hell. It was just so dark and so horrible and so twisted. And I just kind of happened to see it, you know, just a product of this Western world. I just happened to see it, and it really darkened me. But the good news is, I have Jesus. But imagine all the things that actually go through our eyes, constantly actually darken us in this world. But Jesus can wash our eyes every day. And remember that night, I was just feeling so distant from God. I think it was one of the worst feelings I've ever felt. I just felt like I was in hell. I just felt like I was so far from God. Just through what went through my eyes, just the brutality of this world. It's so affecting us. And I think as we grow older and older, we kind of think we get more used to it. And you can hear people say that, I'm not too bothered about this or that. It doesn't affect me. And I watch horrors. It doesn't really affect me. It doesn't bother me. But I don't want to offend anybody, but what does it actually say about you if none of that bothers you? What does it actually say about us if these things don't bother us? We should be a little bit bothered why it doesn't bother us. It should bother us. These things should actually agitate our spirit inside when something is wrong and we receive it with our eyes. It should bother us. And if you come to the Holy Spirit, He will help us to get that bother back, the things we've got used to. But the eye is the lamp of the body. And Jesus said it very importantly. You know, protect your eyes. It's the lamp for your body. Protect your eyes. So choose wisely what you watch. You know, people are big on diet in this country. Slimming world and whatnot. It's a big thing, isn't it? There's so many products that are like fat-free and fat-free. You don't see it in Estonia. But you see it here. And everyone's fat. No! You're awesome. You're awesome. You're absolutely awesome. But we need to be big on diet in terms of our eyes and what we watch, especially in this time now. I mean, food is very accessible, and we have quite a bit of money, and it's easy to buy sweets and easy to buy food and eat out and takeaways. It's quite cheap, and that's where people struggle with it, isn't it? They kind of push it back and try to keep their healthy side and then lose it again and just indulge in takeaways and then, push back, and it's a constant battle. But it's the same with the spiritual sight. There's so much of it around, and it's so accessible and so cheap that we could just get filth 24/7 if you wanted to. So it's important to have a diet also spiritually in what you watch, and watch out for what you watch. So choose wisely. So what not to watch? We in our house, we don't keep television. As in terms of channels, we don't get any channels. We try to limit just watching things for no reason. It's so easy to sit down behind television and just keep it on. I've grown up like that. But it's not healthy. I'm not saying that we shouldn't watch anything. It's our culture. I love cinema, and I will love cinema, and I love some things. But we do need to be wise. And we've found that it's wise not to have channels for the reason of we don't end up watching things for no reason. We choose what we watch. We plan the movies that we watch. We decide what we watch. So ask for discernment for that. Ask for discernment. What's right for you to watch? And there is awesome. Take some steps towards it. Maybe it's not canceling channels. Maybe something else. But there is very practical steps that Jesus encourages us to take. If your eyes making you sin, gouge it out. There's always a cost to following Jesus and keeping pure in this world. So be brave and be bold. You know, we don't need to be challenged by this world. We can challenge this world back by how we live. You know, when I was in school, there's a lot of pressure sometimes by this world. When I was in school, I remember that day when some of the naughty guys in our school who were just mocking around all the time, being very dirty, constantly dirty, and it was like challenging to me. And one of these days, they put a poster of a Playboy girl up in the classroom. They just thought it was cool. But actually, in my spirit, I got agitated. And I didn't know what to do. But I prayed. And I knew that half of the classroom didn't enjoy it, but nobody dared to say anything. So I asked for the Holy Spirit to help me. And I went up to these guys in the break and said, "Can you take the poster down, please?" And I tell you, the Holy Spirit that came on me, it wasn't me doing it. And I thought they would start mocking me and Nah, who do you think you are? But actually, something was in me that they were freaking out for. And they just said, okay, yeah. And I took the poster down. But I tell you, we need to keep sharp in this world for Jesus. Challenge this world. Push it back. You know, there's nothing wrong with being radical. Nothing wrong with deciding not to watch some TV series. Nothing wrong with deciding not to watch any horrors. Nothing wrong with deciding not to have a smartphone. I look absolutely stupid in my job not having a smartphone sometimes. But you know, there's nothing wrong with it because I do it for Jesus. I want to challenge this world. Not this world to challenge me all the time and me losing ground and, oh, I have to have this and I have to keep that because that's what everybody do. Well, you don't have to. You know, you can live for Jesus boldly. There's obvious things that we watch affect us and can lead us to sin. So if you realize something is actually constantly leading you to sin, then maybe it's time to decide what you watch. Some obvious things like porn lead you to lust. It just emphasizes lust in your life. It's a massive challenge for guys and maybe girls. It's a massive challenge for everybody in this time. But there's also things like gossip TV shows or things where there's just a subtle sense of weird relationships and weird gossip, and it's actually the interest we have to nose into other people's lives. That's what you want. Watch. That's why we watch these things, because we're nosing into other people's affairs and we got intrigue from out of it, and we're feeding off gossip, really. And sometimes it's a more subtle way of getting darkened. It's some TV series. There's just endless relationships. I mean, it's different for people. I know that, but watch out. For these things can affect us back. There's also bad news. Watching news, is it news, is it? It's just watching bad news. And imagine if there was a Christian news of the Holy Spirit that didn't record all the things that the enemy is doing in the world, because that's what the news is doing, isn't it? It's just recording what Satan is doing in Iraq, what Satan is doing in that town, what Satan was doing in Paris, what Satan was doing there, what Satan was doing at that school, what Satan was doing, that's news. What Satan was doing to that husband, you know, what Satan was doing to that wife there and those children. It's just what Satan was doing, and we can watch it and receive it. We need to know it all. We need to be up to date what's happening in the world. It's all the same. It's happened before, it will happen again. But there's another channel that broadcasts the news of Jesus, the news of God. What God did today, what Jesus did today, who got saved, who got filled with the Holy Spirit, who got healed. I mean, these are the news we should look after to encourage our faith. I was just reading Rainer Bonnke recently. I was so encouraged. When I got really down, I just read Rainer Bonnke's life story. He lived an absolute awesome life of fire. I wanted to tell you one story just to encourage you, because I felt this prophetic for someone here as well. There was this one man in Sudan, and Rainer Bonnke was trying to get into Sudan to preach the gospel, do a crusade, but it was too dangerous, so they held it back. But one time the government invited them in and said, come and do us an Easter celebration. And it was a big chance for Rainer Bonnke's team to go into Sudan. The country was broken in civil war. It was very dangerous for Christians, the Muslim country. And they went in and they did, on that Easter celebration, a big crusade. And the numbers grew to multiple tens of thousands. But there was one man who, in past in his life, had had a lightning attack and working on a field. And him and his father got really hurt. His father died and he lost his hearing and lost his speech. He became deaf and dumb. The government gave him license to beg. And that time in that country was called Kismet. People called it Kismet, which means the mysterious way of Allah, the mysterious way of how Allah works. So the people who saw that beggar on the street would call it Allah's will, Kismet, fate. And that man one day saw a poster of Rainer Bonnke's conference. And on the poster it said, miracles come from miracles and supernatural healing. So he made his way to this conference. Reinhard said that on that crusade, the greatest miracles in his ministry happened. It was the biggest harvest in terms of miracles. And he went to that one of those meetings, this man living in Kismet, living in Allah's faith. And he couldn't hear anything or speak anything, but he saw things happening. He saw people react. And he started to see people getting healed. I'm talking about blind people getting totally healed, deaf people getting totally healed. And he saw these people coming off wheelchairs, and he got a lot of faith. Faith, not faith. And in one of those moments, he felt like lightning struck him. And in that moment, he woke up. He could speak and he could hear. And later on, he heard that this happened when Rainer was shouting out that blind eyes open and dumb mouth speak. In that moment, that man started speaking. It was absolutely awesome. And load and load and load of people started to get healed. And the Muslim communities couldn't explain it. And so a load of Muslims started to become Christians because their God never did these things. Kismet, the will of Allah, faith. What about faith? Jesus can turn around all faith for you. Hope was gone, lost. He was absolutely lost. But a strike from God changed the will of Allah, the will of Yahweh. Amen? Our God is alive. That's the news of God. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we get encouraged. We feed off the news of Jesus. Awesome. So what are the good things to watch? My wife told me it this way. He wrote down first. He actually made these notes for me because I was too busy. That's what I'm trying to read them. He said, it's not what is okay to watch. She said, what is good to watch? That should be our attitude. What is good for us to watch? And God doesn't just want to take these things away from us and limit us. Actually, he's got something better for us. See, the things that we start to see when we become spiritually connected to God or connecting to him are so much better because they bring life. Jesus himself said in the Beatitudes that those who are blessed are those who are pure in heart because they will see God. Is that awesome? I mean, how can you see God? I don't know. But Jesus said you will. When we cleanse ourselves in Jesus, cleanse ourselves in God, let our hearts be made pure by Jesus. We start to see God, which means we start to see what God is doing in our life, what God is doing at this time, what God is doing, what God's happening, and not walk in the darkened world and when nothing is happening. And I've never seen any miracles. I've never seen anyone get healed. Well, boo-hoo, because God is healing, and it's true. God is moving. God is real. And when we step into Jesus, we can see these things. Our eyes can come full of life when we come to Jesus. So those who are pure in heart will see God. It's a promise from God. How do we get pure heart? It's coming to Jesus and letting him cleanse us. Letting him decide what we watch. Submitting our eyes to him, maybe. Getting ourselves cleaned out slowly. This awesome promise. There's a promise that was in Joel that Peter quoted, which said, I will show you visions and dreams. And it said, I will pour out my Holy Spirit on all flesh, and your young will see visions and dreams, and your old will see dreams and prophesy. And there was a promise that in the last days, these things will happen. And Peter said it was then. So the last days are still happening. We're living in this time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It started with maybe Peter's preach, the Pentecost, but it's still happening. God's promise to send us visions and dreams is exciting, isn't it? But we need to tune out from one channel and tune into the other channel. Do you want more dreams and visions? Do you want to have a vision for your life? A vision what God's going to do? A vision of revival? A vision from God? Desire it and ask for it. You know, Jesus healed a blind man one time, when his disciples were struggling with belief and faith and said, why is this man born blind and where was God when this happened? And Jesus said, this happened for the glory of God. And then he took some mud, put it on his eyes and said, go wash yourself in the bath of, on the pool of Siloam, I think it was. And he washed himself and got his sight back. It's awesome because he washed himself in the pool. And I thought it's very prophetic for tonight. You know, we can wash our eyes, get the mud of Jesus on your eyes, and wash it off. Wash all the mud of the world of your eyes in the pool of the Holy Spirit tonight. You can see God. You can see God's plan better. It's real. It's possible. I think it's very prophetic for you tonight. It's interesting when you read the book of Jeremiah in the beginning, when he starts to have visions from God, because God asks Jeremiah, "What do you see?" And Jeremiah would answer that, "I see a branch of an almond tree." And God says, "That's right. And that means I'm watching." That was funny, because watch what you watch, because God's watching. But he closed his eyes and God asked him, "What can you see?" See, God wants to train our spiritual sight. He was encouraging Jeremiah, "Close your eyes. Okay, what do you see?" "Yeah, that's right. And that means this. That means I'm watching. Everything I say will happen. Close your eyes again. What do you see?" He said, "I see a pottle or pots boiling over." He said, "That's right. That means my judgment will come on the nations." He was training Jeremiah up as a prophet. You know, God wants to encourage your spiritual sight, encourage your dreams and visions, encourage your spiritual prophetic abilities. So be very excited what God wants to do in your life, because there's great benefits in following Jesus. Another thing we can do to get pure for God and just help our faith is to read, obviously. It says in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Because it's hard to have a bath in the dark. No, path. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." The word is the light. That one. That broken Bible. It's got beaten up a lot. That's the light to our feet. Reading is really good for us. It's sometimes hard. It's hard for me to start reading the Bible again, because my mind is so used to this world and watching things. Reading is something like... Maybe some of you are easier doing that. But it's a good exercise to read. Read Christian books. Read the Bible. No matter how hard it is, read a bit of it every day. Or read a book of it once a week. Challenge yourself. It's awesome. Just see what God does. Or read some books like Rainer Bonnke's Life of Fire. Have you read that yet? If you're hungry for revival, read that book. Living a Life of Fire by Rainer Bonnke. It's so faith-raising. It's a book about everything is possible with God. Every dream is possible with God. And it's an absolutely awesome book. It's really benefited me to read Narnia books from C.S. Lewis. They're full of revelation. They're full of New Testament revelation about salvation and the Holy Spirit. And it's incredible adventure stories. And they're full of reality. I really encourage you, young people as well, to read Narnia books, because they're healthy. And they will start draining your imagination. That's the same imagination that God uses to speak to us through the pictures in our minds. So stay healthy by reading. Read some Christian books. Or read Corrie Ten Boom book, The Hiding Place. Absolutely awesome, powerful book. It's really good and healthy thing to do. To get close to Jesus. To have your sight lightened up. So that the lamp in your eyes is full of light. The lamp of your body is full of light. Deep close to Jesus. Awesome. Shall we stand and pray? Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we come before you. We thank you that you're so awesome and so gentle. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would fill us tonight, Lord. Your glorious presence. We pray you would bless every person in this room right now. Come and speak to us now, Lord. I just pray for dreams and visions to start landing on people. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you would open up, Lord, streams of water now from your throne to flow, Lord, into every person here hungry for you, Lord. I pray you would open up every imagination, Lord, towards heaven. I pray you would open up, Lord Jesus, every spirit now to receive from you the Holy Spirit. If you want to cleanse your eyes in the pool of Siloam tonight, why don't you just put your hands on your eyes? Just ask the Holy Spirit to clear your vision, to Jesus to come and wash off all the mud of this world. And in your heart, you can make little decisions if you want. Not, Not vow anything to God, but just ask God. Little decisions you could do, little challenge yourself. What books you could read, what things you could not watch. Keep going as a Christian. Just ask the Holy Spirit now and receive His boldness to do it. And the Holy Spirit, I pray now you would wash off all the mud of every person, Lord, holding their hands and their eyes and asking, Lord, to have a heavenly sight from you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I sure saw a picture of somebody wearing sunglasses in the dark. Just felt the Holy Spirit, maybe just feeling darkness in some ways. Holy Spirit was just drawing you out. Just take the sunglasses off first. It's like double darkness. I don't know what it means, but take the sunglasses off first. Take those little steps, and everything will become light. I think this little steps, taking the sunglasses off. Sometimes we cover ourselves by putting sunglasses up. We cover ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Awesome.
Yeah, I think to expand a bit on that sunglasses in the darkness thing, we're going to go into a bit of time in ministry here. So take your time. If you want prayer, come up. When it comes to things like this, with watching what you watch, there's two sort of angles with it. You've got this, Carl was saying about when Jesus says, if your eyes cause you to sin, gouge them out. Okay, this is the attitude that Jesus wants us to have with watching bad things. And can you imagine gouging your own eye out? That's horrible. But that's what we should feel with these bad things. And the reason we should feel that is because we want to look for good things. And so one thing I think we should do with this ministry is if you're eager to want to look for good things, if you want to look at your friends in a good light, not look at the gossip, but actually build them up, look to encourage people, look to find solutions to problems, that is a gift from God, and that is something God wanted in each and every one of our lives. So if you want prayer for that, come up for that. And then there's this issue of maybe you do feel like you should gouge your eyes out. Maybe things you're looking at are wrong, and you feel convicted for that. Well, I think what that sunglasses in darkness thing means is it's one thing to come and confess that sin. You don't have to do that when you come up for prayer. Find someone you trust and you can confide in and share with them and get prayer from them. But it's one thing to confess a sin and say you're giving it to God. But then, if you don't give up that guilt from that sin as well, you've not truly given it to God. To say this sin is yours is to say, look, Jesus, you died for this sin and you paid the price. So you've paid for my wrongdoing. But then if you hold on to the guilt, you're saying, but I deserve the guilt, so I'll keep that. Well, no, Jesus took that punishment. So you can take those sunglasses off, but you're still in darkness if you don't get rid of the guilt. So come up and receive that as well. That can be, you don't have to share it with people. The leaders will come and pray for you. They might not ask what you want prayer for. You don't have to tell them anything. This is between you and God. In fact, actually, leaders, don't ask what people want prayer for. Just come and pray for them and bless them. And let this be a time where you can come and meet God. God is here, and God wants to set you free and let you have that gift to look for the light. Now the tuck shop's going to be open. It's time for socializing. Those who want ministry, come to the front and you can get that. Otherwise, feel free to get tea and coffee and enjoy yourselves. Thanks, we're done.